All right, so we move quickly into, you know, that subject that we have been looking on, God's love in and amongst us, is what I've been laying emphasis on. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We got to understand how love is the greatest of all that we can ever be. So oftentimes we're busy in search for many other things. Very good, very wonderful. Yet there is a more excellent way. And we got to understand that that more excellent way is love. So anybody who chooses love and chooses to walk in love chooses that excellent way. All right? There is an excellent way. There is a way that God deems and sees as excellent. It is good. So while in fact that we might want to have faith, and that's quite an interesting thought to have, is that the whole entire Bible hinges on faith. In fact, the whole Christian journey hinges on faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God and even to see Him. But He says that there is one that supersedes faith, and that is love. We said that that kind of love we're talking about is the God kind of love. It's the agape. So God it's a love that is characterized with God, right? So it's a major characteristic of sons who are like God. We took time to looking at how we could prophesy and speak with diverse tongues and cause mountains to move. And if all of these things are not done with a genuine compassion and love, it means that we might be having a problem. We might not be pleasing God to its entirety or we might not be pleasing God to that fullness that we should if it's done without love. Today we move on just a bit further. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and we're going to be laying emphasis on a few more characteristics of love. We looked on yesterday as how love is able to suffer long, right? Is able to be patient with people. It's able to not losing out. You know, it's able to make sure that it entertains men's weaknesses and men's frailties and men's inadequacies. Is that characteristic of love? So we said that love is able to bear up with people for a long time. It's patient with people. And we said that in that patience is a kindness also as well. Right? So after we have been patient and we have bared up with them, we are kind to them in those situations. And also after everything has ended, we are kind to them even to the very end. So love is kind, general kindness. You know, there are certain times where we're not just kind, right? Certain times we're not kind. You always want to hurt somebody, right? Right? So, oftentimes somebody who is kind will be gentle and patient with those who need help. So that's a very important characteristic of love, is that you're able to be gentle, you know, with people who need help, with people who seek your help. It's like you're willing to always go the extra mile to help someone, and that's to be kind. Sometimes we can be kind in our actions. You know, you're willing to help. You're kind in your words. Right? You're kind in your actions. You don't beat people down. You don't talk people away. You don't use words that hurt people. You're kind with your verbs. I mean verbally, you're kind. When somebody needs help and they come to you, don't just tell them, Charlie, this thing you're talking about is not really important. No, there's a kindness that envelops the Christian's walk who walks in love. So anytime you see that you're not having this attribute, then you must have a reconsideration as to whether you're walking in that perfect gift. And we all must work on this, right? Many of the times we get to hear people like say things like, "And now the world is full of people. When you help them, they don't even remember." No, that's not going to be your emphasis for helping people. You're not going to be helping people because they remember. Don't be that kind of a Christian that needs things from people because you help. Say, when you help someone, take a receipt alongside with you so you can prove to them that you helped them. No, that's not important. That's not important. Is that when you make up your mind to be calm and patient and gentle, you actually do that without needing any response or any acknowledging in the end, is that you are just kind. There are many times you can be kind to people and they don't even remember the kindness you showed them. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's what true love will do. I remember a time where there was this person, and you know, the person was not feeling well, and every time the person will be calling me, and I was always praying with this person. I was praying with this person and believing God with them. And then the person finally got healed. And this person never, at least, she was, I can remember always saying, "God, you are the only one that has done this." And I said, that's true. I acknowledge God, but I mean, you couldn't even tell the person who was next to you that it was this person that prayed with me and stood with me. So I was, it sounded really interesting to me, and it made me see how people can be. See, I prayed with you, I trusted God with you. Now the thing that we're all believing for, it has happened. You forgot, you never said anything. I said, okay, that's how the world is. Then I'm also going to be very, and that's how come many people don't offer help today. Yeah, because people forget easily. They forget. They forget that when they were the ones that needed the thing, they were always on your neck. The moment the thing happens, they easily go. So I remember I started to say, hey, it's not. And then the Spirit of God just prompted me. And he said, no, that's okay. Don't worry about these kind of things and don't get your heart involved in these kind of things. And I said, okay, that's fine. That's fine. And from there, I stopped worrying about how people show gratitude. Let me tell you something. Anybody that does not know how to show gratitude, right, is not somebody who has been taught well. It can stop so many things from pouring out to you. I'm telling you. Yeah. Not to veer from that teaching, but it's important. I would have shown you through the scriptures how important it is. You don't know how to say thank you. Yeah. You don't know how to say thank you. Yeah, there was a certain thing. I remember also a certain surgical procedure. I prayed with the person. The thing vanished. The person forgot. 2 years or a year or something later, something happened again and she called back again. And in my heart, I was saying, you are calling back after all the suffering I went. You never came back to say anything. Yeah. Never came back to say anything, at least staying with me. So since then, the Lord Spirit told me that don't worry, that's how people are. And let me tell you something. When you're a Christian and you show people kindness, not all of them will remember. Not all of them remember. Not all of them. All right? But true love. And these are things that I'm teaching you because I've learned them on my own. You know, God has helped me. God's kind of love is kind. Right? Be kind to people. Be kind in your words. Offer them a smile when you know they need a smile. Offer them encouragement when you know they need encouragement with people. Encourage them with your words, with your substance. Yeah. Encourage them with your words and with your substance. So, God's kind of love is kind. Right? It's kind. So, as you go out tomorrow, show acts of kindness. Somebody is standing, an adult standing. Get up for them to sit. Be kind. Always, right, with what you can help them with. So love is kind. Learn to be kind. Learn to talk to people kindly. Don't just open your mouth to the latter and to the core. It's not Christian. And as for you, all that you do just insult people. Don't be that kind of a Christian. Loud. You don't desire the good things that other people have. At all costs, it has to be yours. Yeah. So you say, because I love you, I rejoice that the good things you have are yours. I rejoice that the good things I would have desired for myself is what is happening to you. It's not that, why are you having something good and I don't have something good? Why? Why do you have something good and I don't have something good? No. It's that I'm excited that you have what you have. There's a difference between coveting positively what a man has and being envious about it. So I rejoice that good things have happened to you. Oh, thank you. I'm happy about it. Something happened. Both of us went for it. You had it. I didn't get it. I rejoice with you. I rejoice that your number was picked instead of mine because I love you. I rejoice that you were the one that received the promotion. You see, love is so great that it rejoices in the blessings of the other. It isn't envious of what you have received. It isn't jealous of that which you have gained. But love will always be excited and full of joy that the other counterpart is doing well. Not that you are trying to talk down on what another man is doing. Is this what they are doing? It's not of God. Oh, see what they are doing. Oh, see what my colleague at my work is doing. Meanwhile, you know very well that she's doing quite some good jobs. But you will intentionally talk down on it because it is not you. No, that's not what genuine love will do. That's not what genuine love will do. So, genuine love knows how to celebrate what other people are celebrating. And they love it. That good things are happening for other people. Yes, we want good things to happen in our lives too. But while others are getting what we desire to get, we can rejoice with them because they have what we do not have. We can rejoice with them. And, right? This might be a very hard thing to do in the flesh. But don't forget, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so we have that tendencies to do this. So it rejoices in the good of other people. You're ever willing that other people should be preferred over you. It's a very hard thing to do if you're walking in the flesh. Very difficult. Why did the pastor say you should lead the prayer, but I shouldn't lead the prayer? Why did the pastor say, why did the pastor choose you, but he didn't choose me? Why is the pastor always calling you, but he's not calling me? No. Genuine love will rejoice that other people are doing well. He's not envious of other people. Not envious of other people. Many of the times, some people can be so much hardened in envy that the moment somebody buys a shoe, they also go to buy the same shoe or something nicer than that. That's just pure envy. Say, oh, he's wearing a blue suit. Okay, please. I'm going so that I can get a better purple suit. So that mine can look better than his. How about you just acknowledging what he has? How are you just acknowledging what he has? How are you acknowledging that dress your friend has and not going to buy something better than that? Or not going to sew the same thing so you can prove her wrong that you can buy the same dress? How about just doing that? So love does not envy. It's not envious. So you think envy is a joking thing. It's not. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. It's not a small. It's a very great sin to envy. It was through envy that, you know, murdered Abel. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4 verse 3 to 8. Genesis chapter 4 verse 3 to 8. I'll read that very quickly. Genesis chapter 4 verse 3 to 8. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought out of the fruits of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought out of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel in his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Right? Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain, you could literally see envy and rage on Cain's eyes, or in Cain's eyes, such that you, when you looked on him, you saw that he was not pleased. And there are people that are envious of people. The way they see them coming, their face has changed. See. Every day she's dressing. But it's just because maybe you don't have those dresses yet. If you did, you would be doing the same. So how about you just acknowledge that? She's looking pretty. So don't be that envious. Don't be envious. Don't be envious. Don't see what somebody has and so much desire that's taken from the person and is giving to you. No. It's not godly a thing to do. So it was through envy that we can see that Abel was murdered. It was the same story in Genesis 37, 11. Let's go to Genesis 37, 11. And then we'll read 28. 37, 11. And then we'll read 37, 28. Quickly. Same thing with Joseph. His brothers saw that he was always sharing his dreams and aspirations. So I'll become this. I'll become this. I had seen a vision. The Lord, I saw shades, they were bowing down to me. I saw the sun and moon, they were bowing down to me. It says, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So don't go around envying people. I think that's something God has helped me with. You can have whatever. It's like I don't even see you. That's a funny thing. Yeah. 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 Like, I'm not like somebody that. Yeah, it's true. That's why so many things can be happening around me and I can't keep my calm. Because I'm not. I know how to keep my calm. Yeah. I can tell you for a fact. I know how to keep my calm. Yeah. You can have, I mean, those things, I don't even see them. That's the funny thing. I have 25 clothes, watches. It doesn't move me. I've used one watch for, I don't know how long. There is no way I'll go and I'll see someone harvesting. Like, ah, God, I want to buy this thing. It never happens. You can see the way I deal with things like this, even in the meetings we have. I don't copy meetings. Like, I saw this meeting somewhere, so I'm going to duplicate it because I see that it's working somewhere. I don't do that. All of those things you don't see me. Once it's not on my heart, I don't have a problem with it. And I don't go ahead and do it. Yeah. So let that thing die. Let it die. Let it die. Learn how to celebrate the good in other people. Yeah. Learn how to do it. Right? Learn how to do it. Learn how to do it. Learn how to see people and love them for who they are. And sometimes these people might be better in that area than you. But because you are envious, you can't submit to learning from what they have received. So if someone is better than mathematics in you, the best way to do is to get close to them, find out how they know mathematics, and learn it from them. And it's not to sit somewhere and talk back behind them, say, he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know. It's just some few tricks that they didn't teach us. That's why. But you don't know it. If you knew it, you would have been doing the same thing. You don't know it. So, genuine love is not envious. Verse 28. Let's read verse 28. I'm interested in that verse. 37:28. So when you see people have things, celebrate that. When you're listening, love them for who they are. Encourage them, tell them they can do it. Then they passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph unto Egypt. Because of great envy, they could sell their own brother. They could sell their own brother. Because of great envy. Envy can cause you to do so many things you would not want to do. So this guy, we can see he's going to be great. Let's sell him off. No, don't be an envious Christian. True love will not walk in envy. It respects what people carry. It loves what they have. Does not subtly desire that those people were disadvantaged while I was advantaged. Genuine love is kind. Do you see that? It's patient, it's long suffering. All of the things we're going to be looking at in the various verses is what it is not. If you like, pay attention to it, is what it is not. There are just two that it is, and then the rest of them, they are not. So it's not envious. And you know that it was even because of envy that put Jesus on the cross. Matthew 27:18. Matthew 27:18. So don't envy people. There was not a time I went to school. Like I said, God has helped me a lot with some of these things. Right? You see, sometimes when you are going to school, you have small provisions. And then somebody is coming with provisions that are so many. And then it's like, hey, Charlie. This guy, if there was a time I did, the Lord forgive me, but I don't think I did. In fact, I mostly never sent a lot of provisions to school. Yeah, it's true. Mostly I never did. Gary, Shito, Milo, Nido, something. And I'm just there. Yeah. It was in school I went to learn that you can send conflicts. Then I also sent conflicts. You see someone's chop box, you can't believe your eyes. But I never just looked into that and said, hey, I envy you. Hmm? So you must begin to know where you are and just be there. Be there. So that it's just long throat and long eyes that happens to many men. You're in a ministry, you're growing, you're doing well. People are laboring over you. You are seeing the fruits of it. Then meanwhile, you're jumping from that same place to another place. What's wrong with you? So it was through envy. They said that for he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. So what took Jesus actually to the cross by the Pharisee people and by the people whom he preached to and they didn't hear? It's because they envied him. They envied his following. They envied his miracles. They envied his wise saying. They couldn't fight it. They just had to kill him. And many times in the ministry is like that. But we are people of love. We are people of love. We know how to love others and to see them and to celebrate them. We're not going to be looking down on ourselves. No, that's not what we're going to be doing. We're going to be acknowledging the good that we see in them. And also, we're going to be acknowledging the good that is in us. The glory of it all. Hey, Charlie, you're using iPhone 13. Hey, and me, I'm still using iPhone 6. No, that's a wrong way to think. We thank God for you. But we are still using this. And we are also thankful, that's all. That's all. So don't catch yourself slip off into envy. So for he knew that they had handed him over because they envied him. So love is without envy. Our next emphasis on love. First Corinthians 13. Love vaunted not itself. It does not parade itself. You know, when somebody walks in love, they are not puffed up to an extent. They are not puffed up. Love in action, it can work without any name. It can work anonymously. It can work anonymously. Nobody needs to know that it's working, but it's working. That's true love. It does not have to be in the limelight. That's what many people who like to show people they are dating or they are in a relationship, they don't love each other yet. Because true love, true satisfaction is found with two people. That's all. The media does not have to know. So that, why is it that they are acknowledging him? They didn't acknowledge me. You go for a function, you say, oh, pastor this, oh, prophet this, oh, apostle this, oh, this. They just forget you. Then you see that your heart is boiling and full of rage and fury. Why didn't they acknowledge me? Why don't they know I'm here? Didn't they see me? Didn't they know I'm this anointed minister of the gospel? No. It does not have to be in the limelight. And attention must not be on it. Love simply knows how to give because it's supposed to give. So we must all begin to rid our hearts of this. If it's not about me, then it's not about anything that's happening. It has to be me. It has to be me. Yes. It has to be me. If it's not me, then everything should just go south because it's not about me. Right? Genuine love knows how to do this. It knows how to do this. It knows how to work anonymously. Nobody's aware that this work is going on, but it's with you. You're not seeking any human applause. You're not seeking anybody to come back and say thank you. When we say do something, don't be seeking applause. Don't say, why didn't pastor say thank you? Means you are seeking thank you. That's what you're, and when the pastor says thank you, that's what you have received. That means that's your reward. Your thank you is your reward. The God does not have any reward for you again. That thank you alone is your reward. So why am I working and they are not seeing me? No, just work. When you do this, it says you are walking genuinely in love. It's not parading. You know what I mean? You are all over the place just so you can be seen. You normally will give because you ought to give. Not as a sense of praise. No, don't do things because you want to be praised. But let me tell you something. Even in the work of a ministry, the people who work the hardest to make sure things can happen are the people who are not acknowledged. I can tell you for a fact. I can tell you for a fact. Look at the Holy Ghost. He's the one that moves and drives everything. Yet still nobody can see that he's the one on the pulpit. Yet still he's working. He's working in hearts as the word of God is being preached. So many people should actually find solace in the ministry of helps and don't seek anything. I don't like to share this, but I think I need to. That's when I realized that sound guys and people who set up places for meetings, those people are blessed and are a great blessing to the body of Christ. Yeah. When we finished Zelo conference, many of you were gone. All of you were gone. Had to be carrying these things back into the place, carrying these things into every go and carry them for months. And we're just two people. Yeah. There's two people. We're carrying it, moving here and there. So you, when we closed, you were tired, you just went to sleep. We're carrying heavy equipment. That's when I said to myself that, hey, truly the people that actually work are the people who are not seen. Yeah. They don't actually work at the people who are not seen. People who just come in, people who are not doing anything. Wait for the care. We carried them. Went back, went to offload them. See how woke up with you. I ministered to you. I blessed you. I went to carry things. Woke up the next day, my back, my body, everywhere. That's when I said, hey, this thing is really serious. Yeah. So why don't you think God will bless me? Don't you think so? Don't you think so? Oh, you don't think so? Yeah. You see manifestations of the Spirit. See people getting healed here and there. Words of prophecies. And you are wondering how it happens. It happens by carrying things when everybody's gone home. That's how it happens. Yeah. See how equipments are heavy. works by carrying things. But everybody is gone. So you see, and oftentimes, genuine love, and it's because I have genuine love. And the funny thing is, I never even complained. It was after that, you know, it happened. I woke up the next day and I said, I thank God you must see this thing and see my heart. Yeah, I was tired. We're just two people. Look at all of those things. Packing them back, resolidating them, covering them, putting them back in their boxes, carrying the shoe rack, putting them into the care. In fact, when we're coming, one person had to sit behind the care. You see all these things happening. So when we say, I love God, let's take away all the spotlights and the limelights and all of the things that we want to see. Yeah. So they must know I'm the one doing this. No, they mustn't know. You shouldn't be praying that nobody knows. Yeah, that should be your prayer. That nobody knows I'm the one doing this. Nobody should know. Nobody should know. So true love will not parade itself. It's not always, hey, look at me. I'm the one, I'm the great prophet, great apostle, great evangelist. No, it can push things with great force, and yet still nobody's aware that this thing is happening. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to have. It's a great virtue to have. When you're walking in love, you love the people you serve, you will do all these things for them. So love will give because it gives. Gives because it gives. Gives because it gives. Don't do things so that people will know that it's you. Oftentimes people do this in a manner. They prefer that people get to know it's for them. It isn't love. You know, it's pride looking for glory by the appearance of love. Sheer pride is looking for glory by the appearance of love. So it looks like it's love, but it's not really love. It's pride, but you want to masquerade it in love. No. Don't do that. After these meetings, as we teach on love, let's see that. Let's see that kindness. Don't talk anyhow to your brother. Don't talk anyhow to him. Don't tell him, oh, go away. Don't tell him that. Don't be like that. When he says something to you, listen to what he's saying to you. Don't brush it off. Be kind. Oh, Fior, don't talk like that. It's stupid. Don't do that. When I'm walking with people and I see someone treat someone like, oh, Fior, it gets to me. It makes me feel like these people are not listening to the word of God well. Don't treat people lightly and loosely. Don't treat people like that. Listen to them when they are talking to you. Don't be sarcastic in your comments. Don't make derogatory comments. Don't say evil things about people. Don't beat them down. Don't talk them down. See your brother. It's love in us and amongst us. We're going to actually talk about the amongst us. The amongst us is even going to be more intensive. But don't see your brother and disregard him. When you see him, regard your brother. That's your brother. Don't treat lightly his emotions. Don't treat lightly the things he says he doesn't like. Don't let him approach you and talk to you. This thing, I don't really, don't treat it lightly. Be kind to people. It's not always about you. And it's not always about what you think is right. And it's not always about how you're feeling. How the other person is feeling. So it's not proud. It's not always self-seeking in its own. It's not parodying itself and looking for attention and calling out for attention and wanting all the attention. No. Don't be like that. I want the church to know I gave the so and so. Why would you want the church to know? Why would you want the church to know? Why would you want your fellow brother to know that you helped somebody, to know that you were the one that helped him? Why would you want that to know? The person chooses to talk about it, that's their case. But you have done what you ought to do. This love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we're walking in this love. We're walking in this love. We're walking in this love. Father, we thank you for this great love in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that daily we're overwhelmed with this great love. We're overwhelmed every time. We're not parading ourselves. But we're learning to work even the hardest in silence. We're not envious of others. We're keeping a check, a strong check. We can patiently endure. Your nature is in us. Your nature is in us. Your nature is in us. Now, in this season, we're going to practice what we call a love offering. Is that okay? We're going to practice a love offering. Who is excited about this? A love offering. Are you excited? Now here's what you're going to do. You are going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, who has wronged me that I still hold them in my heart, and I said I'll never forgive this person for this thing. Who? And you know what you're going to do? You're going to either call, text, apologize, even if it weren't your fault. If they are close by, get them a gift, something, anything. It doesn't have to be big, just something. We're going to give a love offering. We're going to do something for them. Whatever you just feel led by the Holy Ghost to do. People have hurt you.
Sometimes you didn't even know you were hurt. But as you pray, the Holy Spirit will remind that this thing hurt you and you made it up in your heart. And this person, you are not going to have anything to do with them again. But you're going to have a love offering. You're going to call, text, give to, surprise, anything as the Holy Spirit lays that on you. And as you do this, you will realize God's Spirit resting on you in a greater measure than you have ever seen before. You have God's Spirit just rest on you on a greater, you see a greater ease with normal, natural things that you were struggling to do. You see that. And for some of you, sicknesses will be taken away from your bodies. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm saying that as you do these things, sicknesses will be taken away from you. Things that plagued you at certain points, at certain places, as you forgive and as you give that love offering, whether in texts, in calls, in giving, in provisions, in whatever you just feel led by the Holy Ghost to do, you will see sicknesses just die off. Listen, I'm going to teach you on all of these things, on some of these things, yeah. Unforgiveness, major dwelling place for sickness. Yeah, if you don't know, I'm telling you. Somebody could be sick for several years because they never forgave. Yeah, they can. I'll show it to you through the word of God. I'll show it to you as we go. So you will let go. Are you listening? Let go. Whatever it is, just let go. Whatever it is, let go. And give a love offering. Amen. Father, we thank you for these wonderful opportunities. Let me tell you something. I'm seeing a vision. And people are actually taking steps further in their walk with God. It's going to be tied to this. Hear me and hear me well. It's going to be tied to this. It's like I'm seeing people just walk in a step. It's like they're just going to move from one place to another. It's like from one level to another. And he says it's tied to this. It's tied to your ability to let go. Seeing that we're encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us therefore lay aside every sin and weight that which easily sets us and hold us behind. Right? So we're going to lay off those weights of unforgiveness. They are weights. They stop you from becoming effective in your walk with God. And you're going to take more steps, more steps, more steps in your walk with God. So from now to beyond, I'm opening up room for giving out the love offering. Amen. Father, we thank you and thank you for your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our time's up.